Welcome, everyone. Ah, I love this time of year. The weather gets a little bit nicer, everybody's going outside, and we have an excuse to sell all our garbage in the Non-Pro Garage Sale. I can't wait to get started and just shoveling out all the trash that I've been piling up for years and just throwing it on my lawn and letting my neighbors fight over it. It really is the best time of year.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah.
I do that every other weekend.
Just rummage around in my garbage looking for things.
Or do you mean you just leave stuff on your lawn?
No, I like to watch my neighbors fight every other weekend.
Oh, good.
Do you pay them?
No, I built a pit, and if they want food, they have to kill the other person in there. I throw a broken bottle in, just, you know.
Well, putting Al's bum fights aside, yes, it is a wonderful time of year. It's a time for garage sales and yard sales and junk sales or whatever the hell you call it in your stupid regional dialect. This is Non-Productive. And on this week's show, we're talking about basement gold. Going into your basement or attic or storage shelter or barn, I guess, if you live in the Midwest, and finding things that are just so precious, so valuable, so cool, you just can't wait to form a podcast network and talk about it.
Mm.
I'm Frank. I'm joined in studio today, as always, by Al, Pete, Pope, and Nate. Pete, you actually have a wonderful story to start us off.
This is something that listeners to the network will be very familiar with. One year for Christmas, apparently, my father bought me a G.I. Joe headquarters.
The battleship,
not,
right?
Not the aircraft carrier.
Okay.
I wasn't that fortunate a kid.
Uh-huh.
But this was the big playset with, you know, G.I. Joe's fort.
Oh,
their
cool.
Land-based right. Headquarters. Mm-hmm. Apparently, two other relatives also got me big G.I. Joe gifts that Christmas. So my father decided he's got enough stuff. And he shoved it down into the basement where I discovered it 15 years later.
Wow.
Holy cow. In
near mint condition.
Oh, man.
Complete with the Bradley's sticker.
The Bradley's sticker. The Bradley's. Do you people know Bradley's?
I remember Bradley's.
Oh, yeah. My mom had a great con going on with Bradley's when I was younger.
Hold on. Well, Nate, you don't remember Bradley's. Pope, you said you had a con?
My mom.
Your mom had a con?
Yeah, my mom had some kind of con going on where, like, you could, like, buy Jeffrey dollars from Toys R Us and then take them to get stuff that was more expensive at Bradley's. So she would just kind of do this cyclical thing. She wasn't like stealing, but
that's
she was just
genius.
Getting money for Christmas presents.
Yeah, no, I get it. We're like, we will honor anybody's price with Jeffrey dollars or some garbage. That is awesome. And that's why Bradley's went out of business. Because of Pope's mom.
I remember Bradley's as the place you would go when you had some extra money.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? I don't have to stoop to shopping at Caldor this week.
Caldor. Oh, man. All right, let's do some like deep New Jersey cuts. Let's do some North Jersey Clifton cuts.
James Way.
All right. Yes, that's good.
Go down the valley for Kmart.
Kmart's still around still yeah. But like it was a bigger thing back then. But
never knowing what a Walgreens was.
Yeah, totally. No.
Like it was a completely alien concept until I was in like my 20s.
So for me, the Bradley's was in what was I think now it's there's a shopping center on 46 in Totowa, maybe? Totowa, New Jersey?
It's Wayne, actually.
Is it Wayne?
I think it's Wayne.
It's
right on the border.
Thing, and it's where, so there's a Barnes & Noble in that.
Wrong.
What? Am I wrong?
Wrong. That was Caldor.
I thought the Bradley's was connected to it.
You're thinking of in Clifton, behind Clifton Commons, there was a Bradley's there that is now a Kohl's.
Oh.
And the Caldor also turned into a Kohl's.
Yeah, the Caldor that you're talking about turned into a Kohl's.
Yes, I know that. I knew there was a Caldor there, and I was trying to remember. How do I remember a Bradley's being there? So for people who don't know, Bradley's is a department store or was a department store. It had a blocky font. That's one of the things I remember. It was a very blocky font, and it had like price stickers, and then you could get anything. You could get toys, you could get clothing, everything was subpar, nothing was great, but it was all okay.
The closest thing we have surviving now is Kmart.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. It's like a really lowbrow Target, maybe. You know, it was very interesting for the time. And I remember that they had ice cream sandwiches, because I remembered all the stores, all the department stores that had ice cream sandwiches in the lobby area or whatever, the first way you walk in. So, yeah, Bradley's sticker. Nice. Very good.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, that's like a legendary example. If your family member bought you of like an amazing action figure or something, and you just didn't know you had it for years, and you stumble upon it. That's a great
forgot
one.
Forgot to give it to you.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. That's good. For me, I have, speaking of scams, my story involves a box that's in this building right now. I did find it. That is jam-packed with Masters of the Universe figures. It's full. First of all, Al, do not get into Masters of the Universe. You cannot afford it. And I don't mean that as an insult. I mean, like, emotionally, you cannot afford
it. No,
I can't. It's too deep.
Nope.
But yeah, so I had a cousin at the time who worked, I believe, for Toys R Us. And he was relatively young. He was a little older than me, he was significantly older than me, but still, like, pretty young. And he worked at a Toys R Us and would give me Masters of the Universe figures, always out of the box, always just like, here you go, here's this Gela guy, and there's the one that looks like a lobster. And I'm like, oh, these are great. And I loved it, because I was not like a super well-to-do kid or anything. Mm-hmm. I had every toy that came out. But first, I had a huge amount of Masters of the Universe toys. And legend has it, these were action figures that fell off the back of the truck. And I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know how they got into his possession exactly. But I suspect what happened is that they were open box toys that were just discarded, because they were like, I think at one point in the history of American, you know, department stores, if something was discarded and nobody wanted it anymore, it was chucked in the bin. So I got the bin toys.
That's pretty much what's going on.
Yeah, that's still probably, yeah. Oh, is it? Yeah. Yeah, so that is my favorite thing. I have another story I would like to share later on. But, like, it was weird, because what often happens with Basement Gold is you'll occasionally get it mint in box with the sticker still on it. But then I had, like, nothing matched. I had weapons that were not at all, like, they weren't even to scale. They were probably like G.I. Joe weapons thrown in with the He-Man weapons, a lot of Star Wars figures and stuff. Like, I know for a fact that Yoda lectured He-Man in my playset as a kid, and that's just weird. But, like,
it's not as weird as you think.
Yeah, I guess. No, not for a kid playing around, but for, like, not knowing the origin of all these things, just sort of getting them as a hand-me-down from a cousin. And not having the back of the thing, so I couldn't, like, really know what the characters were. If I'd missed the episode that where their backstory is described, I'd have to guess. I have to be like, all right, lobster guy, you look like a bad guy, I guess. You're probably a bad guy. And I like the bad guys better than the good guys, so that was it. But yeah, that's my favorite thing right there.
I have a kind of similar story to the two of you, actually. This is going back a long, long ways when I first started collecting video games. I remembered back in when I was a kid, my father and I, we would play the Intellivision. And that was like a really old kind of obscure system. Mm-hmm. And I just went digging around in the basement closet, just trying to find, like, where is this thing? Because I wanted to sort of set up a game room. And, like, I knew where the Nintendo was. I knew where a few of the systems were. I found the Super Nintendo. Those were systems that were kind of around. Like, you knew where they were. Like, they were in the closet upstairs, or they were in the laundry room, or, like, they were stored somewhere where you saw them come in and out of the, you know.
Right.
As the years went on.
And there were systems that, like, you know, they got heavy play at one point or other. Right. They were, like, legit gaming systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've long since lost all my Super Nintendo games, my father's Super Nintendo games. I still don't know where they are. They're somewhere deep in the crevices of that house. But I didn't end up finding, was, like, while I was looking for the Intellivision, I found two systems that I had no idea we actually owned, which was, not only did I find the Intellivision, I found a ColecoVision.
Oh, nice.
Which I had no idea we actually had. And then in this weird straw, like, case, there was an Atari.
Oh, nice.
And I knew what Atari was. I had been slowly but surely learning it as time went on, like, through, like, watching gaming videos on the internet and such. But, like, this had no part of my childhood memory whatsoever. I had no idea he owned this.
Do you think it was haunted?
No.
Do you think it's a cursed Atari and that's why he hid it away?
I don't think so.
All it plays is the E.T. game.
Oh, my God.
No. Oh, terrible. Lord.
That's a creepypasta waiting to be...
Well, we had the E.T. game, oddly enough. And we had Pac-Man, too.
All right.
So maybe that's why it got shoved away into the closet.
Because those are the two you had.
Wait, this is what Atari does?
All right, let's...
Your basement is truly kind of unbelievable.
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved in with Al, it was actually really, really close, within the first, like, month or two. Al runs his video game business, and he sells the video games, and we've got a rack that we take to every game thing, and it's got all the nicest stuff on there. You know, it's got that $300 game on there, your $200 games, all the sealed stuff, really cool things. And I said to Al, you know, because, you know, sometimes he pulls stuff out of his basement, old games he has, and I said, Al, your basement is just, it can't be a recurring source of income, you know? Like, you're running a used game business. Like, you can't get, you're not the kind of guy that goes and you order your stuff from your guy. You're not a Walmart, you know? You can't order stuff from your basement. And at this time, he was, like, going through a bin in the basement. He goes, oh, hey, what's this? And he pulls out a game from the basement. And it's a sealed copy of Vice City for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And I went, huh. And I looked it up on my phone, and I'm holding it, and I open eBay, and I'm like, yeah, this is $200. I hate you. I hate your basement. I hate your life. I don't have a basement. I grew up poor. What is this?
You know what the secret to Al's basement is? It's actually a portal to the 80s. So what's really happening is he's actually getting them brand new from the distributor.
I mean, 100%, like, what? There was a used sticker on that that said that it was bought for, like, $9.97.
Nice.
Like, so, I mean, for all I know, maybe I am reaching into the past and pulling out, like, discount stuff that was still sealed. But I'll be honest, that wasn't the only thing that I found. Not necessarily a Nate story. I found two more sealed games in that story.
You did, but none of them were $250. None of them were $200.
But back in when I was originally talking about, when I found the Intellivision and everything else, I found, like, crates of complete inbox Intellivision games that I had never seen when I was a kid. Like, I was pulling out milk crates full of all of these instruction manuals, little things you would slide into the freaking phone controllers. Uh-huh. Like, and these, all of them in these, like, pristine boxes that I had no idea we had. Like, Dungeons and Dragons for the Intellivision, complete inbox. Like,
did you actually, so these were not all the same game, right?
Nope. They were different games.
So this is just like a collection. This is someone played with these games. There's not like somebody, like you have a cousin or something. I have a lot of these weird cousins who like worked at the factory, and here's a crate of the stuff that they couldn't move.
Yeah, this like never was sealed. It was just, you know, it had to have been used, I assume, or me and my father opened it, looked at it, and then put it in the closet for all I know. Like, I have no idea, but there was just like buckets of it, for God's sakes. It was crazy.
We're going to do a field trip to Al's house.
I mean, please do. Come take some stuff.
Haven't you said your dad, like, kind of has that mentality where he's like, oh, hey, let me buy this off you. I think it might be worth something someday. Like, do you think, like, that's, like, been his logic his whole life?
Actually, you could be totally right. Because I found a Master System game, like, randomly in the basement.
And no Master System.
And, no, we never had a Master System. Okay. I'm 99% sure we did not.
So you want a Master System?
Actually, yeah, I would totally want a Master System.
So there's
we'll talk later.
See, this is what we do here. We make connections. If you've watched, History Channel, I think TLC, AMC, whatever, all those, not AMC, but there's a lot of, like, these picker shows and collectible shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, people who go out and find trash and they bring it back. And inevitably, they go somewhere in the Midwest and they find a barn and they go through the barn and they're like, oh, look, here is a fully intact Elvis. That's where he's been hiding. Just hanging out in this barn. And I think your dad might be one of those guys.
I'm one of those guys.
Definitely one of those guys.
I'll tell you.
When you die later on this week, we're going to find so much weird stuff in your colon.
Oh, Lord.
No, I'll tell you another one. Sorry another about possibility everything I just said. Is your father could be the guy, kind of guy that has a lot of friends who, like, they're looking to get rid of stuff. And he's, oh, hey, my kid plays video games. If you're looking to get rid of it, I'll take it off your hands.
Oh, I'm sure he said that, but really it was just stuff for him.
Oh, well, yeah.
Pope, do you have anything?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have probably one story of actually finding gold out of, like, you know, I grew up like Nate, so, you know, we moved and we lost probably thousands of dollars worth of merchandise, and then we moved again, and, you know, it continued happening. And then, you know, recently I keep forgetting that I have multiple tubs of, like, dozens of 90s and late 80s comic books just sitting in my aunt's attic that, like, I've left there for 20 years probably.
Oh.
That I just keep forgetting to go to her house and take them out and actually put them in my mom's house that she has a basement now.
Uh-huh.
So it's like all of our stuff is just sitting in her attic, and then they never go up the attic, so they forget it's there. And then, like, once every couple of years, she's like, hey, you're gonna get that stuff soon? I'm like, sure, I'd love to read all those comics.
This is the perfect recipe for somebody in the future finding attic gold. because what's going to happen is that house is going to eventually sell, or potentially that house will sell. No one will remember it because it's not, no one who's living in the house, it belongs to them. That stays in there. Some lucky kid's going to find it and they're going to figure out what's going on in 90s Batman, which is not a good look. It's not a good look.
100% that could be true. I've done that, and I know people that have done that. I recently bid on stuff from an estate sale from a situation kind of like that, where they bought the house, and it's filled with tens of thousands of dollars of collectibles that they just get sold away.
That's a low number.
Huh? Sorry, hundreds of thousands of dollars of collectibles. Wow. Excuse me.
Easily. That's crazy.
I'm going to end this with one story where the net value of the things found is significantly less than that. At one point, I think my father was working as a security guard somewhere, in a chain of like companies or a strip mall or something like that. And he was working security for a company that rented videotapes before there were Blockbuster chains. Hmm. So before Blockbuster as a chain or any of the like. What are other
Easy Video
or any of the other like video rental chains? So he had a bunch. They must have went out of business or something, or they had tapes that they were like never moving. No one ever took them. So he got as a gift. The guy from the store said, "All right, take these home." And we still have these VHS tapes floating around the house somewhere. And that is how I first was introduced to some terrible, terrible horror movies. From the 70s and 80s, like Basket Case.
Oh.
Which is a notoriously bad one. Is it Tuvok or Torvok? There's one about, there's like a it's set in like a fantasy future world where there's like an eagle guy. I don't remember. There's Beastmaster, which is actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, I agree.
I remember distinctly a family favorite was a VHS copy of the first and I think only season of the TV show Working Stiffs, featuring Jim Belushi and Michael Keaton, who are either brothers or cousins or something. And they're like, they get a job at a company and they're working stiffs. It was a sitcom. I think there were 6 episodes on the tape. I think those are the only 6 episodes they ever made. I don't know anybody else who knows the show, but we loved it. Picture a bunch of stupid kids, me and my 2 older sisters, watching this tape over and over again, memorizing these jokes and quoting them to each other as if it were in any way relevant.
Oh, wow.
These tapes are probably floating, probably in our basement right now. And while they're worth zero to any human being, they are priceless in my mind, unless I find them on YouTube, which I probably will.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, so this is pretty cool. I like having a quick episode where we talk about our favorite basement gold. Speaking of basement gold, the non-pro garage sale is coming soon. Pay attention to our website and our Patreon to find out where you can get discount cool stuff like vintage collectibles, action figures, video games, and a whole lot more. Go to non-productive.com and join us.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.